And so today, what I'm going to be looking at, I'm still looking at a word on the wheel, and what it is, I'm looking at the one down at the very bottom. It's not one word, it's actually three words, the only one that's three words, and it's grounded in truth is what we're going to be looking at this morning. The idea of we as Christians, we as WCBC, a body of Christ, the believers in Jesus, need to be grounded in the truth. Because in our world today, truth is like, it's messed up. People are thinking that truth is you know, they get to define their own truth, and what's true for you isn't true for me, and all this stuff that's going on in the world. And that's why things are getting so messed up, because there's not an absolute standard. And here's the thing, there is an absolute standard. There is a source of truth, and that truth and all truth stops and starts with God, all right? He is the truth. Whether you like it, accept it, believe it or not, He is the truth. Because God, as we talked about last week, is the creator of all things. He is the one who has created the earth, the universe, everything that you know and think and understand was created by God. And that's why there's been such a huge battle in this world to push God out of the equation of the creation. We've done everything, we haven't, but the world has done everything they can to make us, make people believe that we just happened, that this was an accident, there was a big bang, or all these different theories that are going on about how creation came into being. And the real reason is because they don't want, those people that have this agenda, they don't want there to be a God who created it. Because if there is a God who has created all of this and created us, if He created it, then He has the right to set the standard. He has the right to judge. He has the right to say what is true and what is false, because He has created all things. So here's the thing. We've got to be grounded in this truth. Now, where I struggled for the last 2 weeks is trying to get down deep down, I mean down, all the way to the bottom of the truth, the bedrock, the absolute bottom of the foundational aspects of the truth that we need to be grounded in. And there are all kinds of things that I think can be down there. And you might have your own idea, and that's great. And come to the class and kind of explain that to me today. That'd be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. But as I sat there and I prayed and I struggled and I read and did all these things, to me, it all comes down to three very simple words at the very bedrock of the foundation of the truth of God. And it's in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. And it's this: God, three words. Remember I said it's three words? I'm trying to keep it simple, but it's not going to be simple. God is love. God is love. If you want to read the whole verse, it says this. Back to verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. That's the bedrock. I don't know how to boil it down any deeper than that. And that is so deep. We could spend the next 2 years talking about God is love and what that really means. The trouble is, and where I got in trouble last week, is people, we have a hard time understanding that God is love, and that He loves you. loves you so incredibly much. We cannot put into words, our little bitty minds cannot comprehend the measure and the scope and the depth and the height and the width of God's love for you. And the reason that is because a lot of times we equate our personal well-being, we equate our personal present circumstances, we equate the world and the things that are going on in the world with the idea that God loves us. Last week was so hard because I had so many different conversations with so many people, and it was like a punch fest, to be honest with you. I felt like I was getting one and two and three and four and all low cuts and everything last week in an incredible way. And the question kept coming up was, if God is so good, if God loves me, why this? Why this? And you can put the why this, and you can fill in the blank with a million different things. You can look at the world and the things that are going on. You can look at your own personal life or your personal relationships or your finances or all these different things. And we can get into this thing of saying, well, God doesn't love me because of this, because this circumstance is going on, this is happening, or all these different things that's happening in our lives. And all of a sudden we get into this idea that God doesn't really love me, maybe right now at the moment. I want you to hear this very plainly. God's very character, his very essence is love. He cannot help but love you in all circumstances, in every way. I don't know how he does it. I really don't. I mean, you know, we call God the Father, right? God the Father. I'm a dad. I love my kids. I really do. I love Karina. I love my son-in-law. I love Brian. I love Gabe. I love you. I love Reagan. I love Titus. I love my... I love them. I mean, I would... Today, this morning, I was willing to step out of my truck with angry dogs barking and gnarling and wanting to tear me apart because I didn't want my son or my wife to step. I stepped out there like, ah! No, I didn't step out there. They would have torn me apart. I stepped out there going, ah, easy now, easy. I would do anything for my kids. I would do anything for my, because I love them so much. I do. I don't want to say the word, but it's about to come out. But it absolutely drives me crazy. This didn't happen. I'm just going to make up a scenario. All right. Is that okay? I don't want to go into realities. I'm going to go into fantasy scenarios. But let's say I took my family to Disney World, okay? I would probably never do that. I am like the cheapest man in the world, okay? I can't hardly do it. But let's say I something clicks in my head and I take my family to Disney World and I buy them the express pass for all the rides. And we walk in there, and even after we bought the... Gabe's going, I don't want to ride any rides. I don't want to ride any rides. I don't want to ride any rides. I get that. You can stop. All right. So we walk in the gate, and after buying the express pass for all the rides, and we stayed in the hotel that night, and it was beautiful, and we had room service, and we all ate lobster and had milkshakes and all this other stuff. I mean, I'm splurging, you know what I'm saying? And we walk in the gate, and the first thing, I don't know what's in there, but the first thing we see is the princess, and they all want to get their picture taken with this princess. I pull up and I pay for the princess picture. And as soon as, you know, even though we ate a big breakfast at the hotel, we get in there and they got all the cotton candy and the corn dogs. And they said, I want to, and so we go get a corn dog and cotton candy and turkey legs and all that great stuff. And as soon as they haven't even started eating the stuff, and they see one of the games and they want to go play the game and win the little giraffe thing, the little whatever it is, and let's go play the game. And after we play that game, they want to play this game, and I'm thinking, we bought the ride tickets, but I don't say anything. And we do the games, and we all have these stuffed animals, and we're walking around, and we're riding the rides, and we're having and anything they want. I mean, just all of it. All day long, we do it all. I don't say no to anything. My wife's like, this is really a fantasy. You know that, right? This is a huge fantasy, okay? I say no to nothing. I splurge. I just lavish all this time and attention, and I'd never, it just a perfect, wonderful, awesome, amazing day. You get the feeling? Me either, but anyway, so we go through the entire day, and we get done, it's all great, and we walk through the gates, and we're starry-eyed, and got their belly aches, and the whole nine yards, and we get to the van, I say, come on, let's go back to the hotel, and we can, I know you don't want to go swimming either, but we'll go back and do something fun at the hotel. And one of them goes, I'm not saying which one, I don't want to sit in the back seat. I want to sit in the front seat. I don't want him to sit in the front seat. And all of a sudden, they get in this big argument of who's sitting in what seat in the van. What's going through my mind? You have got to be kidding me! I didn't say it. I don't know how God keeps from blowing his mind every single day. You know, when we talk about God's love, it would be so simple and so easy to go where everyone thinks this is going, to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, and say, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only begotten Son. But we aren't even close to getting to that spot, because what God is doing every single day, his expression of love, we are so taking for granted, so ignoring. He is lavishing upon us each and every day his amazing love. And we honestly, truly aren't getting it. This is where I struggled last week. Because, and I'm not doing this in an angry way. I'm really not. I just think we have forgotten what God is doing every day for us. I think we've forgotten how he's watching over, protecting, providing, loving on us every single day. Here's some things I want you to understand about being grounded in truth, because if we can get this, if we can get grounded in the truth of God's love for me, every single day, it will rock your world. It will change your perspective. It will reset your priority, your heart, your goals, your relationship, and everything else. If you can get this one bedrock, foundational, cornerstone truth in your life, God loves you. You see, not only did he create all this, not only did he take the time to create this amazing world and the universe and the galaxies and the stars beyond our ability to see, why would he, it just amazes me, why would he create these galaxies, these far-off systems that we may never... Why would he take the time to make this amazing, glorious, incredible creation? Things that we'll never understand, never even see. Do you know why? Because he can. Because he can. And because he loves you. But God didn't just create all these things. He didn't just make it and then walk away and say, okay, Adam, Eve, I made you the caretakers of this place. Now you take care of it. I'll see you later. I'll come back and check on you in about, 7,000 years to see how things are going. No, it's much deeper, much bigger than that. If you have your Bibles, take a look with me. And there's several different passages we can look at. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 1 first. Hebrews chapter 1. This is where it gets a little complicated. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. This is what it says. It says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers. Did I go too fast? I know most of you have phones now, and so you just hit Hebrews chapter 1. You're there before I can turn the pages. I know that. It says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the universe. Hear that, okay? Because we talked about that last week. Remember the whole idea about the picture and the sunset? Karina says, look where God decided to hang it, because look at what Jesus did. Look at that beautiful picture where God decided to hang it. And she had this concept, even though she was 3 years old, she had this concept, this understanding that that sunset was made through Christ. She had this concept, maybe as a three-year-old, she understood that everything that we know, everything that we see, feel, touch, taste, was created through the Creator, through God, through the living Word. Remember, he spoke it into being. Remember when God created everything, he just spoke it and it happened. Later on in the Gospel of John, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You see, the agent of all creation was Christ Jesus. He was with God in the beginning, and all things were created through Jesus. He was that very essence of the being of creation. So all things were created through Christ. Everything. Everything was created through him. All of it. All of it was created through Christ. We didn't work on that. That was the Holy Spirit. Listen to what it says here in Hebrews. All things through him, he made the universe. So he made it all through Christ. But that's not it. It says the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. And what is his being? Love. And listen to what it says. Sustaining all things by his powerful word. Did you catch that? It's saying that God not only created all things, but he is sustaining all things through his powerful word, through the word of Christ. All things are being sustained. What do you mean all things are being sustained? I'm talking about the most minute details of your life are being held together, are being accomplished through the blood of Christ, through Jesus. What do you mean here? Take a look with me in Acts chapter 17. I could just rattle these off, but I want you to know this is not my crazy thoughts. Acts chapter 17. Paul goes to Athens. And he's talking to the people of Athens, and it's this place where Athens is like the center of all gods, okay? All these Greek gods and all these things, and they've got all these temples and all these statues and all sort of stuff. But in the center of Athens, there's this place where it's a statue to the unknown God. And Paul starts with the unknown God. He says, you know what? I'm going to talk to you about this unknown God. He says, the God who made the world, in verse 24. Sorry about that. Chapter 17, Elijah, verse 24. It says, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands, and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself, listen to what it says, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. Keep reading. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact place where they should live. And God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each and every one of us. For in him, listen to what it says, for in him, in Christ, we live and move and have our being. In him, we live and move and have our being. I love that song that we teach kids at VBS. Every move I make, I'm making you. You make me move, Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. Waves of mercy, waves of grace. I won't keep singing. There is a truth in the midst of that that I think we're forgetting. Every day, when I get out of bed, it's by the grace of God. Hear me. Every breath I take, it's because he allows me to take it. Think of the Lord's Prayer. Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's it say? Help me out here. Give us this day our daily bread. Sometimes I think we get in our minds that we're all that. I really do. We forget. We think we're all that. Man, I earned that bread. Whew. I went to work, and I got my job, and I worked hard. I worked my 40 hours a week. I got my paycheck. I went to the bakery, and I got my bread. You want to know how that all works from the very beginning? You want to know how it all works? We can go through each one of the scriptures, and I'll explain it to you, because you were formed in your mother's womb. You were knit together by God. As a matter of fact, if you take a look in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, it talks to Jeremiah the prophet, and God says, I knew you. I knew you before you were ever conceived. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 1. You got to see this. You think you came about because mom and dad got together and had a night of passion, and all of a sudden that you were conceived and you were brought into the world by this mom and dad. I hope I'm not embarrassing anyone, but that's how it all happens. Anyway, so here it is in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. It says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before, does everyone hear that? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I knit you together, before I decided to create you. And each one of us, we've got to get this in our minds, each one of us were known and loved and created by God. You are so special that he knows, and I know pastors use this term every time, but he knows, this is amazing to me, he knows every hair on your head. He's counted them. Dude, every hair on every one of you, he knows.
Bless you, my child. No.
And it's not just you and your hair. God's word tells us in Matthew, in that same area, he says, there's not even a sparrow. Not even a sparrow falls to the ground that he does not know it. You see, everything that he's created, He's created it for a reason. And that reason is His love. He didn't have to. He was not obliged to. The truth is, He loves you. He loves you that much. If you want to, I won't go into all of them. If you want to hear all the verses, look at all these different things. Stop in my breakout classes. There I am putting in a plug for mine. Brent, do you want to say equal time, equal share? Do you want to say anything? No, you're good? All right. Jody, you're talking about sex today? I don't know. You want to come on up and share a little bit? All right. Here's what it is. He knits you together. Counts the hairs on your head. He's the one that gives you your daily bread every day. He's the one that got you your job. He's the one that created your job. He's the one that made the job possible by creating the resources that your job entails. He's the one who brings the rain and the sun. You know what? If God wants to, and He's already proved it through His word because I believe it, if God wants to, He can make the sun stop shining. He can make the sun stop. He can make, this God can make the sun stop in midair for an entire day if He wants to. Actually, not an entire day. He can make it stop for as long as He wants. If He wants to, He can stop the earth from spinning. Well, if the earth stops spinning, then we're all going to die because, you know, then we won't have gravity. Well, it'll go floating away, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. But if He wants to, He can do that. Because He's not constrained by our rules and our science and our understanding. And when He does it, and if He does it, He does it for a reason and a purpose. You know what that purpose is? He loves you. Do you realize that God is the one? He's the one. Gives you joy. He provides that. He gives you joy. He gives you peace. We haven't even touched on His mercies are what? New each and every day. And here's the thing. You remember the whole vacation to Disney World? Here's the thing. He's doing that every single day. Whether you realize it or not, you're on the ride in Disney World right now. It surely feels like a screamer to some of you. I know. It's like, well, I'm going down the hill. Nobody's putting their hands up. Few are. He did that just for effect. And to be honest with you, most of the time we're acting like the kids at the car. Right? Come on. We're acting like the kids in the car. I don't want to sit there. I want to see out the front window. I think that's a better seat for me. I don't want to go there. And I'm not talking about the person next to you. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. If you really want to question God and where He wants you to sit, if you really want to sit there and say, well, I really don't want to do that, I don't think that's fair,
You want to talk about fair?
I'm sorry, that's how I respond sometimes when they say, I don't want to sit there.
I'm a pretty freaky dad, aren't I? Go from smiling to, bah!
I think it's time we get to the foundational truth of our life. God loves you. And if it's not enough that He shows you every single day in the most mundane, simple aspects of your life, if that's not enough, then turn to John. Chapter 3, verse 16. Because with everything else, what John chapter 3, verse 16 is saying, I love you so much that I don't want to stop loving you. That's what it really says. I don't want this relationship, and this was what blows my mind, because we're standing at the car saying, I don't want to sit there throwing a fit with all of our toys and our corn dog and our cotton candy and all these things that have been just so amazing. We're sitting in the car going, I don't want to sit there. And at that point where I would be blowing up and throwing someone against the wall, saying, you're going to sit where I tell you and you're going to like it. He's saying, I love you so much, let's come back tomorrow. At that very moment, he's saying, I want you to come and live with me in this paradise, and I don't want this party, this time, to ever end. And so in order for that to happen, I'm going to send my son, and he's going to take care of all your tantrums. He's going to cover up all my anger for what you deserve, because you do deserve death. You do deserve punishment. Yes? Oh my goodness. Every day, it is a blessing that He has not struck me dead. And I'm your pastor. Every day, I should be on my knees saying, oh Lord, thank you for that grace. Thank you for your incredible mercy that is prompted by your love for me. His patience is unbelievable. That's our God. His love is amazing. It's the foundation of our life. At some point in time, when that love starts to really sink in, just like it said in 1 John, you should love one another because God loved you. At some point in time, when we start to realize how much He loves us, what He's really doing every single day in our life, when we start to come to some small understanding, and you'll never grasp it. Believe me, we'll never grasp the full extent of His love. But when we start grasping little pieces of it, it's going to start changing our life. It's going to start making us say, you know what? I'll sit where you want me to sit. My time watching football is it's really not that important. There are people out there who need to know the love of God in their life. And it needs to overflow out of me. And I need to give up a few hours this week to serve. Not so someone can say, Brett, attaboy. Good job. I love seeing you here. That's great. That's good. Because it's the right thing to do. Because of the love that He has shown every single day to you. God's love is amazing. And He's pouring it out every single day. That's the truth. Amen? Let's pray. Oh, precious Father God, You, wow, words cannot express that You are an amazing, incredible, awesome, astounding God whose love never fails. Lord, it has been a hard 2 weeks trying to get this out. But I am so thankful for it because You put new lenses in my eyes. I recognize even in the hardest times, even in the point that I feel like grief and pain are more than I can bear, I recognize that that is only for a short time. And the grace and the love that You've expressed to me throughout so many years far outweighs any pain or heartache or struggle I'm having. And Lord, it encourages even more that even in the midst of my struggle, that's when You are closest. And Your love abounds even more. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, the Creator and the Sustainer of all things, the One in whose all power is in His hands, that You would awaken my heart to the aboundment and the amazement of Your love. That You would help me be aware each day of Your presence, and Your provision, of Your protection, and Your guidance. Each day, open my eyes a little more, so that I might have the opportunity to love like You to a world who needs You and needs to know the truth of who You are. Lord, I pray that this day is a start of a change that infects each and every one of us. So we place it in Your hands because I know that only You are capable of making that change. So we love You in our feeble, scary way. And we lay our lives before You. And we ask that You come. That You come. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. We're going to sing a song. And I really wanted to sing, Every Move I Make, but we're not going to sing that. Because unknowingly, he had an even better song than I could have picked out. I don't know if some of you could have handled all the dancing I was going to do with that song anyway. But we're going to stand up and we're going to sing Good, Good Father. Is that right?
We are.
And as we're singing these songs, speaking these words, I want you to take to heart what it's saying. Take to heart what He's doing in your life. God be God, for God is love.